Welcome to the AECI Plant Health Podcast, where we have conversations that help you unlock nature's potential.
Have you ever wondered about the best practice of handling pesticides on your farm, or how proper training can significantly impact the quality and value of your produce? In this episode, we sit down with McGregor Natuli, a dedicated technical support specialist at AECI Plant Health. Tune in to hear about the best practices for minimizing handling mistakes, the technological solutions available to farmers, and the potential economic benefits of proper training. McGregor, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. It's absolutely amazing to have you with us today. We will be delving into some very interesting conversations, and specifically the contribution of AECI Plant Health within the agri-industry. Tell us about your journey on advocating for product stewardship and safe handling of pesticides this far.
Hi, Octavia. Thanks for having me back once again. It's always a pleasure to be here and share some of my views and thoughts with you and your listeners. Well, first things first, our journey has been quite a pleasant one, which lived up to the theme of 2023. We've been embarking on a journey of excellence, particularly when it comes to our stewardship program, where we've been, you know, advocating for the safe use, safe handling, and safe storage of pesticides amongst everyone involved in this whole pesticide industry throughout the whole value chain. So basically, you would recall that when we had this chat last year, 2023 was mainly about the promises that we were making. It was all about plenary. I mean, the first half of the year, we were still in a plenary phase. And then in the second half of the year, we shift gears a bit. And then we went into the piloting of our program. So basically, what we've been rolling out this program and advocating for stewardship by way of training people who are involved in this pesticide value chain. Now, these trainings I'm specifically referring to, we refer to them as on-farm trainings. Now, please, we need to take cognizant of the word here. We're referring to them as on-farm trainings and not necessarily farmer trainings. Otherwise, if we say farmer trainings, we might create the wrong impression that our trainings are only targeting farmers, which is not necessarily the case. But it's actually targeting everyone who would be keen and anyone who will be able to benefit from this program that we're rolling out. So when I say anyone, I'm speaking of farmers, farm workers, technical persons, crop advisors, distributors, manufacturers, and so on and so forth. That's what the journey has been for 2023. Fast forward into 2024, we then went into full implementation of the program following the piloting that we did in the second half, or rather the last quarter of 2023. And then 2024, we went into rolling out the program on a more full-scale basis. And by doing that, by also applying some of the key learnings that we got from last year. So far, so good. And that's what we've been up to.
And which parts of the country and how many trainees have AECI Plant Health reached out to since the inception of your program?
As I mentioned once before, AECI Plant Health operates by way of having our business segmented into 7 business regions within South Africa. So the whole idea was for us to, at the piloting phase, to reach out to farmers or farm workers and technical persons and so on and so forth across our 7 business regions. And that is for the piloting phase, so that when we start rolling out on a more full scale basis, we know that we doing it throughout the country again, but then we're doing it with much more perfection than what we would have done at the piloting phase. So to get back to your question, how many trainees have we reached out to? Last year at our piloting phase, I think we were targeting 120, and then we ended up having just over 200 trainees, which was a significant number above what we had envisaged. And then this year, we've got an overall target of 650 to train throughout the year. And to this point, we had reached the 250 mark, just above 250, I would say around 260, 262 to be more precise. So that's where we are at the moment, and we're still reaching out some more. I'm quite confident that we will get at least to the targeted number, 650, given the demand that we're seeing, you know, for these types of trainings that we are offering.
McGregor, what are some common mistakes farmers make when handling their products?
Extremely important question, Octavia, and thank you for posing that question to me. The first and foremost thing is that I've noticed that end users of pesticide products out there, they forget one thing, or they don't understand one thing, and that is the whole pesticide industry is regulated. And one of the common mistakes that people do is that they liken purchasing or using or handling pesticides the same way as you would buy, let's say, a cell phone pouch over the counter, where you just buy a product and what happens afterwards, no one really cares and it doesn't really matter. Whereas in this case with pesticides, one needs to understand that whenever one gets involved or one starts to purchase or distribute or manufacture a pesticide product, and then there are regulations that then follow through that are supposed to be used as guidelines to make sure that these pesticides are handled in the right manner. And so it's not a case where you just buy the thing and then what happens afterwards, no one cares. It's a free-for-all, not necessarily the case. So this is the first thing. It's that people do not understand and people do not know that there is the regulatory part of it and everything that we do is regulated. Secondly, is that after purchasing pesticide products, end users do not read labels whatsoever. And that's one of the biggest pain points that we have. They do not read product labels. And that doesn't happen by and large. You know, there's a greater majority of pesticide users out there who do not read the labels. And by not reading it, it means that people end up not following instructions. And if they don't follow instructions, everything else follows through. And I can guarantee you from that point onwards, the only thing that's going to happen is going to be wrongdoings. However, with the minor majority that actually does do the reading of the label, we've actually found there are further common mistakes that we've identified. And that is, those who do the reading are not necessarily able to do the correct interpretation of the label. You know, some people get lost in terminology, which we think is actually simple enough, you know, to be interpreted or to be understood. But we find that people still get lost in translation, you know, things like withholding period or pre-harvest interval. End users don't know what does that mean, what does it refer to, compatibility or maybe tank mixing. End users don't know what does that mean and what does it refer to. So the problem is that if people do not understand, you know, some of the terminology, it becomes difficult for them to even apply whatever it is that is in the label. And that's exactly why we're doing these trainings. You know, we're doing these trainings so that we can identify all these common errors. And after identifying, we can address them in the best way possible to make sure that we rid ourselves of all these problems that we see prevailing frequently. And then the third point is tank mixing or compatibility of products. One of the biggest mistakes that we see happening out there is that farmers or end users have got a very big tendency of tank mixing products illegally. When I say illegally, I mean that they tank mix products, mixing products, even though it is not permitted or permissible by the label. So it makes it totally incorrect. Yes, they do it for reasons that are economical to them. They do it for reasons that are advantageous to them as a farmer. However, those reasons do not favor the stewardship of the products that they would be using or that they would be applying. So we're not saying that tank mixing or product compatibility does not exist. It does exist. It can be done, but it needs to be done in compliance with what label instructions would be saying. And all of this would be on the labels. And then the fourth point would be dosages, you know, application rate. End users, again, farmers have got a big tendency of not following the dosages, again, for reasons that are known to them and for reasons that are beneficial to them. You know, sometimes they want to save a buck or two and therefore they would actually lower their dosage raises. So dosages is actually one of the biggest pain points that we're seeing as well. And then lastly, to a lesser extent, we see the issue of PPE, making use of the correct personal protective equipment when handling and applying these products. So these five or so are the biggest common errors that we tend to identify that we see that are prevailing quite a lot out there on farms.
What are some best practices for farmers to follow in order to minimize product handling mistakes?
There's going to be one thing to do, one very simple thing to do. There could be more that could, you know, strengthen that one, but there's two simple things to do. And that is, the very first one is to familiarize themselves with any regulation and to familiarize them with themselves with the law. And in this case, we're speaking specifically Act 36 of 1947. Familiarizing yourself with that. And then second to that, one simple thing would be reading product labels whenever one wants to apply or make use of any product labels. Reading product labels would be of utmost importance. And how can that be strengthened or supported? That could be supported by things such as training programs that we have or joining forces with some other farmers or doing like knowledge transfer and information transferring and so forth. that cross-pollination of information could actually help. But it all rests on one simple thing, and that is following instructions that will be detailed on the label. Because remember, at the end of the day, a product label is a legal document which every end user of a pesticide is supposed to be able to follow whenever they are making use of these pesticides. And remember, we want the end user to make sure that they do all of this for one simple reason, and that is safety. We want to make sure that we promote safety to the end user, the person who actually handles the actual chemical and does the mixing and the application on the farm. We also want to make sure that when they're applying these things, they do so by not harming the environment, everything in the environment, whether it's natural vegetation, whether it's faunal flora, whether it's farm animals, and so on and so forth. We want to make sure that nothing gets to be harmed. And lastly, we also want to safeguard the health of the consumer as well. So in so doing, we're actually advocating for safety.
McGregor, how does AECI AgriHealth intend to address the aforementioned shortcomings?
With these shortcomings, I think it's now quite clear, and it's now, you know, largely in the open, that we address this by way of these on-farm trainings that we're offering. But in addition to those, so we want to go over and above just the on-farm trainings. And what we now want to do, we want to start rolling out our impact assessment analysis. So with these impact assessments, what we want to do is that we want to analyze the impact that these trainings have on the actual farming setup. So in other words, we don't want to just train people and then we record numbers to say we've trained how many people in which parts of the country and then it's all done and dusted. No, the training is only the first half of it, but then the second half of it is for us to assess and analyze that, okay, we've trained so many people from so many people that we've trained. How many incidences were we able to curb through this training? In other words, we look at how many incidences would occur on a particular farm before the training, and then after the training, do we still have an occurrence of those incidences, yes or no? And if no, obviously we can give credit to the trainings that we are doing. So over and above, we want to do that impact assessment, and that's what we expect to do, and that's the overall impact that we want to see happening out there.
What about the impact on quality and value of the produce?
Well, quality of produce is primarily a result of a couple of factors, which not all of them are in our control. However, I'm going to answer this question from a perspective where we would assume that all the other production practices would be in place. In other words, you know, if climates are favorable, the correct seed or seedlings were used and irrigation was done correctly, fertilization and then with all things being equal, and then we're only looking at quality of produce by virtue of application of pesticide. So what we're saying is that if the farmer can make use of pesticides by correctly applying these things, by doing one simple thing, and that is following the label to the T, then there is guarantee that no mishaps are bound to happen. When I say mishaps, we're speaking of any residues, for instance. We do know that when one applies pesticides, there are bound to be residue levels of some sort that are going to be on the edible commodity of the foodstuffs. So what we're saying is that if the label is followed correctly, and then the foodstuffs will not have a negative impact, therefore assuring that the quality of the end product will be within acceptable quality standards, particularly in this case, with reference to the pesticide residues that would be or could have been in that particular edible commodity.
And finally, how important is it for farmers to be trained in proper handling techniques, and what are the potential economic benefits thereof?
Like I said before, I think I made an example to say that we can't liken the use of pesticides the same as buying any product that you just buy from a supermarket over the counter. And once you bought it, it's done and dusted. No one really cares, or it doesn't really matter what happens afterwards. We need to understand that this is something that could pose a potential risk. We need to understand that we're speaking of pesticides. We're speaking of products that could have a harmful impact of some sort if ever they're not used or applied correctly. So the benefits are to make sure that, one, we keep the industry going by making sure that foodstuffs, the most important and all the required foodstuffs, get to be produced in the right way, in the right quantities and qualities, to make sure that we are able to supply foodstuffs to meet the demand of the ever-growing population. However, we don't want to do that by harming anything else in between. So we just want to make sure that we are able to supply all the foodstuffs or do whatever it is that we need to do without harming anything else in between. And by so doing, I'm sure that a positive economical impact would be achieved.
Thanks so much, Mugredo Natuli, a dedicated technical support specialist at AACI Plant Health.
Another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.